For those who have health insurance, at-home tests for COVID are set to become free, part of a broader plan on the way to combat the next phase of pandemic. I'm David Brancaccio. President Biden is set to announce a winter COVID plan later today. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer got a look and joins us now with the details. Nancy?
President Biden will announce that all adults who got both doses of the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine 6 months ago or the J&J shot in the past 2 months are eligible for boosters. The administration is setting up family vaccination clinics so parents and kids can get their shots together. And the White House will continue requiring people to wear masks on buses, trains, and planes through March 18th.
And what if you think you have the virus or have been exposed?
President Biden will announce that Americans with private health insurance can get the cost of at-home tests reimbursed by their insurance companies. The White House says it'll also distribute free COVID tests to health centers and rural clinics. And there'll be a new test-to-stay policy for schools where exposed students can stay in school as long as they wear a mask and are tested regularly.
And if or when COVID intensifies this winter?
The White House says it's in the process of securing 13 million doses of antiviral treatments for any outbreaks. President Biden will also announce the creation of new emergency response teams that will be sent to hospitals that are under strain from an outbreak.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thank you. Now, the economic, and it almost seems like a philosophical question about how to start thinking about what the new coronavirus variant might do to our livelihoods. On Thursdays, we have a standing meeting with Diane Swonk, the chief economist of the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, it's the question on many of our minds. I just don't know if there's an answer. What is this new variant of coronavirus going to do to the economy? And even the scientists don't really have their heads around this thing yet.
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, it kind of feels like Groundhog Day. We keep waking up to Sonny and Cher singing, "I Got You, Babe," over and over and can't escape it. But what's important is there is a Hollywood ending. Bill Murray did escape it, and he escaped it once he realized that his own life could be bettered by each day, and so could those of others. And that's the way out. We've got the tools we didn't have a year ago, and that's to vaccinate, mask, and use rapid testing in ways that, you know, we couldn't even really leverage a year ago. And that's our bridge to getting the pandemic from being a pandemic everywhere and vaccinating the world, but being a pandemic, being more of an endemic and more manageable.
Yeah, maybe some antibody treatments that are showing some promise, maybe new approaches to how hospitals deal with crushes of cases.
Exactly. Sadly, we're on a learning curve, but good news is we're on a learning curve, as slow as it may be.
All right, the labor market in the month just ended. The big government report is tomorrow morning. What are you thinking?
I think we could actually see a blowout month, especially with revisions crossing 700,000. We saw job hiring pick up and job listings pick up in the month of November. The question is whether we can really pull more workers off the sidelines. And that's the hard part because of the surge in retirees and those people who are still dealing with the uneven school schedules and childcare issues. I mean, one of my colleagues had her child sent home in quarantine for 10 days, and then the schools didn't have enough employees to stay open the whole week of Thanksgiving. So all of a sudden they had to get extra coverage then too. Those are hard challenges to overcome to get people back, but we need to get this. Wrestling the virus to the ground is the best way out of this.
Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, chief economist there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Grocery giant Kroger reports quarterly results this morning. Analysts will be listening for updates about its latest expansion, opening in new markets without actually opening new stores. Kroger started up grocery delivery in Florida earlier this year, powered by refrigerated warehouses, robots, and drivers. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher reports.
Florida is an untapped market for Kroger, but lots of residents know the brand because they moved there from somewhere else, like Jen Moore of Tampa, who knows Kroger from living in Texas and Georgia.
I've shopped there for years.
Now, Moore gets Kroger deliveries about twice a week. She buys fresh produce for herself and her pet rabbit, J-Hop.
I'll usually give her like 3 leaves off the lettuce set and then like a little handful of cilantro.
And Moore found that a head of lettuce delivered from Kroger was a dollar cheaper than other places, so she was willing to pay the delivery fee.
I've noticed enough of those types of savings that I'm like, this is definitely worth it.
So that's one happy customer in Florida, but Kroger's new venture needs a lot more.
Kroger is entering a really, really competitive category.
Analyst Sucharita Kadali with Forrester says, on one hand, Kroger could save a lot.
They don't have a physical store infrastructure that is hindering them or holding back their profitability.
But on the other hand, delivery is expensive. Refrigeration, gas, drivers.
They may have like ice cream in their orders or raw chicken. You know, you just can't go deliver it at 3 in the afternoon or 2 a.m. when it may suit you as a carrier.
And in Florida, there's a lot of loyalty to grocers that are not Kroger, like Publix.
Yeah, I love Publix.
Samantha Ampel shops at Publix in Georgia.
It's bright. It's friendly. I've always been able to find everything.
It's that kind of Publix brand loyalty that Kroger is up against, says David Livingston at DJL Research. He says if customers are into grocery delivery, there's Instacart and Walmart already in Florida.
I just don't see Kroger having any kind of compelling advantage over any of the other retailers.
But he says it's not a bad strategy to elbow into a new market without the high upfront costs of stores. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
Now to a newspaper industry increasingly owned by hedge funds. An analysis by the Financial Times found that more than half of the daily newspapers in America are owned by these investment vehicles. Today, a company that owns papers in about 70 markets reports quarterly sales, profits, and losses. Lee Enterprises is trying to fend off a hostile takeover by a hedge fund called Alden Global Capital. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has that.
For statewide news, many people in Wyoming turned to the Casper Star Tribune.
Or one of the only outlets, if not the only outlet, that is delivered statewide and read statewide.
Ellen Gerst is a reporter with the paper, which is owned by Lee Enterprises, and she chairs the newsroom's union. She says the paper has already faced deep staffing cuts and opposes hedge fund ownership that she worries could gut it even further.
Wyoming would lose one of its biggest watchdogs.
Neither Lee Enterprises nor Alden Global Capital responded to requests for comment. Rick Edmonds is with the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. He says hedge funds have a reputation for running financially troubled newspapers on a shoestring.
They are kind of investors of last resort in industries that have lost favor.
And Edmonds says ultimately that hurts communities.
You progressively lose what newspapers can best do.
He says government accountability reporting and investigative work are often the first things to go. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And maybe it was once hip to be Square. Now Square, the mobile payments company where you swipe your card out in the wild, is changing its name to Block because things like the blockchain are hip. Blockchain, the hard-to-fake digital ledger, very au courant. The other day, Square CEO Jack Dorsey stepped down from his other big job as head of Twitter to focus on Square, now Block, not to be confused with H&R or Buster. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.